What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Thank you, Luke. Gator, I think we knew this. But I can't remember because we don't...
I think you're going to say the same thing I'm looking at right now, but go ahead.
The PGA Tour schedule's been released.
Yeah.
And the new dates for the Rocket Classic.
It's all official now.
Yeah, I think... So last year, the Rocket Classic was in late June at the Detroit Golf Club. And... It never has felt like it had a great place on the schedule, although this time it was, because I think it wasn't one year or a couple of years, it was the weekend before the British, and so a lot of people were gone playing the Scottish or over-acclimating. Yeah. And so this time it was better. It was 2 weeks after the U.S. Open and like 3 weeks before the British. But it's got a new place on the calendar, and it'll be... basically late July, early August. It'll be July. The tournament will run...
the 27th through the 2nd of August.
Yeah, 27th being, you know, you get to the pro-ams and all that stuff. But the tournament will be played over the weekend, concluding on Sunday, August 2nd. That'll be 2 weeks before the playoffs start?
Yes.
So are people going to be scrambling for playoff points?
You could see it. I mean, you also saw some players, like, I think Rory McIlroy took a week off in the middle of the playoffs because he had enough points, he wouldn't slide out of it. And now the way that they work it with the Tour Championship at the end of it, which is this coming weekend, it's no longer that staggered start where somebody, you know, Scottie Scheffler would start with a 5-stroke lead. It's no longer that.
Yeah.
Everyone starts at the same spot, like it should be, frankly. So that's kind of cool with that. But I think what it does, I think this is a better position for the Rocket Classic to get more golfers to show up, the higher name golfers, the higher ranked golfers, because there's always the bubble effect that people need to get into the top, whatever it's going to be at that point, the top 70. And there's so many of those bubble golfers. But there's also really good names that end up not making the playoffs. So I hope it's a good spot for it. And other golfers are going to want to solidify their spot. Because you have another week after that before the playoffs start. So I think there's a good chance they could have a better field.
I think that this, I'm willing to try anything at this point to get a better field. Look, I've been to the Rocket and I've told this story on the air. To me, it almost doesn't, it does matter that they're big names, but I had a ton of fun, even though there weren't a lot of big names when I was out there walking around, because the golf is great. The sight lines are awesome. The general admission area, seating areas are more than adequate. There were plenty of decks and seating areas you could get into. You didn't have to have a special pass. So I enjoyed the hell out of it personally.
But. Well, and the knock on it that a lot of people have, a lot of the media pundits and local people for that matter, is that the course is too easy. Well, they're redoing the course to make it perhaps more difficult. And that's why they've also changed the date, and they're thankful for it because they have time to fix it. But people complain that the scores were too low. You know, there are too many getting to the 25 under par range and getting close to the threatening 30. You know what? I saw plenty of events this year that were lower scoring than the Rocket Classic. So I don't like hearing that complaint about it, and it doesn't matter to me. I just want to see the good golfers get out there. And actually, yeah, I want to see them threaten course records all the time. I would love to see Scottie Scheffler come out to DGC and tear it up. 100% I would love to see him tear it up. He's the best golfer in the world. He's the best golfer consistently we've seen since Tiger Woods in his heyday. So it's been a while. He's fun to watch. I want him to play so badly in this event.
Yeah, look, maybe, just maybe, eventually it'll get that point where it is. But, I'm actually happy with what it is right now. I hope Detroit continues to support the event.
Well, you get to calm down.
Redoing the course might help in terms of field?
It's a couple weeks after the British Open, so that's good. It calms things down a little bit. Remember, we had that J.J. Spaun had won the U.S. Open.
And was committed to
play the Rocket and then backed out because he wanted to at least breathe and enjoy it, which I can understand, you know, to a point. So maybe this allows for that breathing period because you're a couple weeks removed from the British Open. So whoever wins that, if they've been, you're sure have an open invitation to go to the Rocket Classic, that maybe you can enjoy it and then come to the Rocket Classic.
Yeah. Well, so it is new spot on the calendar, late June, early July. All right, so Lions, people coming out with their 53-man rosters, and it's interesting to see the difference. So Detroit News, I think it was Nolan Bianchi from the Detroit News and Colton Pounce of the Athletic. I want to run down some of the names that made it and didn't make it and get your thoughts.
Okay, and these are projected.
Projected 53-man rosters by reporters. Both of them had Hendon Hooker making it. Is that a surprise? Is that a yet to be determined? How do you feel about it?
I think it's a yet to be determined. I think obviously Kyle Allen's a number two. So it just, to me, that says they could scour, see who is waived from other teams. If they think that player is a better option than Hendon Hooker. I think I read in Colton Pouncey, he thought that if Hendon Hooker was waived, he'd likely get picked up by some other team. I don't know if the Lions want to have him picked up by somebody else. They've invested a little bit. But understand that if they keep him, it's not because he's any threat to Kyle Allen at number two. It's because they want to keep trying to develop him and see if they can break through with him. But at this point, doesn't matter. You've got your starting quarterback who's a stud. You've got your backup quarterback who looks pretty capable. The last couple weeks he's played, he's looked very capable. So who the third quarterback is on the roster, if they leave it open so they can have an extra defensive lineman or an extra defensive back, if that makes sense, go ahead and do it. You know, it just doesn't matter. It's the third quarterback. Who cares?
I thought it was interesting. Nolan Bianchi had Craig Reynolds not making it. Ooh. Keeping three running backs, Craig Reynolds out. Colton Pouncey has Craig Reynolds in, and them keeping four running backs.
So Sione Vaki is
yes.
The other one.
I was shocked, but Bianchi wrote, "This is the same group I've rolled with for most of my projections. And again, it comes down to a matter of positional value. Vaki, already one of the team's most impactful special teamers and had a good showing at running back Saturday. I'll continue trying to find a place for Reynolds next week when I put together my final projection, but for now, I'm rolling into the season with three running backs." I'd honestly be shocked. I think Craig Reynolds is like the perfect RB3.
I'd be very surprised if Craig Reynolds did not make this roster. He is one of those guys that does everything that's asked of him, which is blocking number one, number two, and number three, and then carry the rock when you have to because somebody's hurt or they need to give somebody a break. And he's capable of that. He catches the ball in the backfield. He can play special teams. I think four running backs is the way to go.
Yeah. Other interesting things. Look, the wide receiver spot, Colton Pouncey has five getting kept.
Instead of six, which is interesting.
Instead of six. He's got Dominic Lovett and Jackson Meeks, the two rookies not making it. Nolan Bianchi has got Lovett making it and Meeks not.
That's interesting.
I thought so too. And look, there's stuff that we see at practice. Now, you and I can't keep a fully – when we're doing the talk show, we're paying attention to practice, but we're not trained in on everything.
Correct.
Lovett must be having really good practices because Meeks has outplayed him in the games.
Lovett wasn't at practice when we were there because he was recovering from an injury. So I think
that's why we didn't see him.
To be fair for that week against Miami, we didn't see him. He was a late addition. I don't think people expect him to play against Miami in the game, and it was kind of a late addition. In the meantime, Meeks has gotten a ton of snaps.
Dude.
And run with it, man. Make the most of it. He's got good size. You know, he's a 6'2" wide receiver, almost 220 pounds. And he has caught just about everything that's been thrown to him. He's done everything that's asked of him, made big plays, caught the big play with the referee running as defensive back. He's done a great job. But Lovett was a draft pick and, you know, was getting open, had a couple pretty big drops.
Yep, including one again this past weekend.
Yeah, but he gets open and it is, you know, hands, is that just put him on the Amon-Ra plan and get better with catching the football? Is that easy enough? Is there too much talent there to say no to? I mean, if it's me with my eyeball test, I think Meeks deserves the spot. If you're going to go with six, I think Meeks deserves that spot over Lovett.
I do too. I don't think Meeks, I mean, in some ways, if you want to keep them both, you have to ask yourself this question. Which is most likely to make it through to the practice squad without getting claimed by another team? I don't think there's a chance in hell Meeks would make it through.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The practice squad. I think Lovett might. Do you run the risk, even if you love Lovett, do you run the risk of putting him out there for to get picked up by somebody else because you're trying to keep them both?
Well, that's why Colton Pouncey's is interesting from The Athletic, because he has only five receivers. So yep. He's got, you know, Tesla and Tim Patrick are the fourth and fifth receivers making it, and neither of those guys get on with Meeks and Lovett. So, you know, I said yesterday, I think they're going to have a real hard time getting a lot of these guys through waivers to get to the practice squad, because they have shown up. There's lots of tape. Even if, you know, if Lovett's drops some passes, like I said, he's open. He gets open. And what Meeks has done is catch everything. So both of those guys, their tape is interesting to look at. And I don't think either one of them would be brought back. I think somebody else would take them.
An undrafted free agent special, both of these Lions insiders have him making the team, and both of them having a draft pick getting cut at the same position. And we will get to that today, coming up at 11:16, plus hear what Brad Holmes told Kay Adams about the possibility of adding another big player. And we all know who the implied player is. Trey Hendrickson out of Cincinnati. Heck, I guess it maybe even would include Micah Parsons. Hear what Brad Holmes had to say today, coming up this hour as well. Hey, attention golfers, let Twin Peaks be your new 19th hole. If you're at the LIV Championship in Plymouth, make sure you stop by your nearest Twin Peaks before and after to beat the heat with the coldest draft beer in the state. Why go to Twin Peaks? That's easy. For starters, nothing cools you off better than their 29-degree draft beer or cider. They pour your favorite draft at a bone-chilling 29 degrees into a mug that's been freezing for a minimum of 6 hours. There isn't a golf course in the state that can offer that up. Now pair that with food from a scratch-made kitchen, and you'll never want to stay on the course for that old hot dog ever again. Hand-smashed and seared burgers, house-smoked brisket and ribs, hand-breaded chicken tendies and boneless wings, light and fresh salads with house-made dressings. They got everything you want to recoup from a long day on the course. Over 50 TVs, including video walls and 98-inch flat screens, along with every sports package, brings you a front row seat to all of the action. What brings it all together, of course, is the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. Come see the difference today. It is Twin Peaks Eats Drinks.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.